was all part of being a barrister, and Jack could handle it. He was on his way. He'd won a few trials. His diary was starting to fill up, and solicitors were actually briefing him in his own name. And most important of all, he was starting to feel comfortable, not only in a wig and gown, but in his own skin. His opponent was already in court. Barry Smith worked in-house at the Crown Prosecution Service, a sensible and fair prosecutor who gave every brief the same meticulous consideration.
"Here he is. Cutting it a bit fine, aren't you, Kowalski?"
he said as Jack flung his papers onto an empty lectern on counsel's row.
"Don't even go there," Jack replied. "Look, I've read the basics, Barry. No previous. Denies it completely. Anything else I should know?"
"Only that we're really worried about this one." His humour had vanished. "He's gone totally psycho. Flipped out. Smashed up the house and did some pretty strange things leading up to the rape. We really don't want him out there. This brief has got danger written all over it."
"Bloody hell, Barry. Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty?" asked Jack.
"I wouldn't worry, though, mate. I'll never get bail in this."
"All rise." Her Honour, Judge Bedingfield entered the courtroom and took her seat on the bench. "Yes," she said, not wasting any time. The court clerk stood up. "The bail application of Timothy Smart, Your Honour. Mr. Smith is here for the Crown and Mr. Kowalski defends."
"Well, very good. Let's get on with it, gentlemen. I'm anxious not to keep the jury waiting in my trial.
What are your objections to bail, Mr. Smith?"
"Quite simply, risk of further offences, Your Honour. The defendant has committed a very serious offence, rape of his estranged wife. He's very unstable. There's been a pattern of offending, all directed towards Mrs. Smart. Harassment, smashing windows, even entering the house uninvited and leaving bizarre and threatening messages on the walls. She's terrified, Your Honour." The prosecutor handed forward some photographs of the lounge, the first of which showed the words "Sin No More" written in 3-foot-high letters along one wall.
"Yes, I see," said the judge, looking through the other photos, clearly concerned.
What do you say, Mr. Kowalski?"
Jack got stuck in immediately.
"Well, there's absolutely no corroboration for any of this, Your Honour. It all comes from Mrs. Smith, only her word. There's no bruising or injury that suggests a forced sexual act."
Jack paused to let his point sink in.
"Your Honour, as far as the allegations of criminal damage are concerned, it's pure speculation that they were committed by the defendant. There's not a shred of evidence to link him to the offences. No forensics, no eyewitness evidence, and as I understand it, Mrs. Smart did not report any of these matters to the police at the time they were allegedly committed. Only later, when she made the allegation of rape."
Her Honour raised an eyebrow.
"Is that right, Mr. Smith?"
"Yes, it is, Your Honour.
Mrs. Smart made her reasons quite clear in her witness statement. She didn't want to aggravate matters by involving the police. She was desperately trying to find a way to appease the defendant and resolve matters amicably for the sake of the children.
He reacted very badly when she told him she wanted a divorce."
The judge nodded.
"Yes, I see." Smith continued. "She'd already managed to persuade the defendant to move out some months earlier. Even then, she noticed how his behaviour was becoming more erratic. As far as any lack of injury is concerned, it's well known that it takes the case no further. There is frequently no bruising or other injury where intercourse is forced."
"Semen?" said the judge.
"None, Your Honour. The defendant suffered from sexual dysfunction during the marriage, unable to ejaculate. There was a partial DNA profile on a vaginal swab, which matched the defendant."
Smith sat down. He'd done enough.
"Mr. Kowalski?"
"I've seen the expert's preliminary report. It's a significantly incomplete profile.
My learned friend knows full well that he would never get that in..."